Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
This is Greg.
So and this is Dan, and we are.
When I left you, I was
Radio Network podcast. Bringing back his old time.
Because it's a Seracon.
Yeah, we heard about the Seracon.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Sequel, reboot, or destroy. Before we get to our game, how's the week going, you guys?
My week was pretty cool. I actually got to go check out a pretty cool restaurant that I've never been to. I always love trying new restaurants and cool things. For some reason, I've never been to this place, even though it's literally like 3 miles from my house. So I don't know why I never got the chance to go, but it's a hibachi grill place. It's one of those like fancy ones where they're flipping the spatulas and flipping everything around. Every table is a grill, and there's like you could fit like 8 people around the table. And, you know, they take your order and everything. And the guy brings his little card out with everything that he has and everything he needs to cook up your orders. And I had gotten the chicken, and you get like rice and vegetables with it and stuff. So like he starts off, it was a birthday. It was my sister's birthday. We all took her out. So he kind of did this like, it was kind of like a little joke. He had this onion, and he took the layers of the onion apart and like stacked them up to look like a little birthday cake.
Nice.
And he was like squirting the stuff on it, and the flame was shooting like 3 feet up in the air. It was hilarious. It was pretty cool. And then you know, he cooked up all the rice and the chicken and everything, and it was awesome. Like, it was so entertaining too. It was like you get a show like with your meal and everything. Nice. Like just watching this guy flipping the spatula around, he's catching it behind his back, he's twirling it around his finger and everything. It was just extremely impressive. You know, you could tell he's done it a million times, because it's just like, you know, it's just like walking to us. Like, it's just completely second nature to this guy.
Yeah,
it was really exciting, and the food was awesome. I loved the chicken. Had some, you know, he put some sesame seeds in there that really topped it off, and the rice and the veggies. It was really, really amazing. I enjoyed it a lot.
What, did he throw any food in anybody's mouth? Because I've had that happen before.
He did. He, I believe it was a couple of shrimp.
Yes.
So he cut it up into little pieces, and he kind of went around the table, and there was like five or six of us. I forget. Five of us, I think. And he just kind of went around, and he's like flipping it into our mouths and stuff, and some of us caught it and some of us didn't. Luckily I caught it on the first try. I have no idea how the hell I did that, but
Chuck, it can't be too hard, because I was at one once and they did that, and he was like, do you want shrimp? And I'm like, no, I'm good, I don't like shrimp. He's like, you have shrimp, you impress girlfriend. And I was like, I had a girlfriend at the time, and he started tossed them in my mouth, and he must have threw like several in my mouth until my mouth completely filled up with them. I caught so many that the last one he threw at me, I couldn't grab in my mouth, because it just like bounced off all the shrimp in my mouth.
Nice.
Well, see, he's since I caught the first one, he didn't give me any more. Like, my dad like got like 3 tries because he was missing them, and my sister got like 3 tries and stuff, but it was still a blast, though. Like, I really enjoyed it, and just the atmosphere in the place was really cool and stuff.
I've actually been
wanting to go to that place for years.
Next time, you should bring, like, a baseball glove and be like, I got.
Yeah, that's what I told my dad. I'm like, you should have, like, a huge, like, softball mitt so he could, like, catch the pieces.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Very cool. Actually, I just went to, it's funny, you just went to a place near you. I went to like this little deli near me for the first time in a long time, or first time ever. I don't know why, I've just never went to it, but we randomly the other day, I'm like, I'll try it. And then like had one of the best cheesesteaks I've had in Baltimore since ever. So I was like, I should have been here so long ago, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Now, I forget down there, do they call it a sub or a hero?
They call it a sub. You can't order a hoagie. They don't know what a hoagie is. It gets very confusing. Right.
I think I remember you saying there was one word that they didn't know. Couldn't remember which one it was, but
yeah, hoagie is
confusing. That's pretty crazy.
It's like when you try to order a tray of pizza and like I don't know, no one like we don't give our trays away. It's a Scranton saying when you try to order a pizza for whatever reason, you order a tray instead of like a pie, and then it's stayed with me ever since. So.
And then you got half pepperoni, half pumpkin, right?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
I forget which comedian does that joke.
I don't know. It was on Premium Blend like 20 years ago, but what are you going to do? Greg, how are things going with you?
Good. Not today, though. My back's a little fucked up. But story I did want to tell, I was at a brew fest this past weekend with my boss.
Ooh, nice.
Got pretty drunk at that. Of course I did. And I knew one of the guys that was a vendor at the place. He has one of the business that he runs with his family is this cupcake business. And I was talking to him for a little bit, got cupcakes from him, which are delicious. And he has a tattoo. I was like, oh, what's your tattoo, man? He has it kind of in the same spot that I have mine. And he's like, oh, it's Batman. And he lifted up his arm and showed me. And it was the Batman symbol with like little bats kind of flying off of it. Like, so the big emblem is like fading off into these cloud of bats and everything. I was like, ah, cool. Let me show you mine. But first I had to get through the top shirt that I was wearing, which I thought I was wearing my Western style, which has like these clasps on it. But I was actually wearing a button down shirt with actual regular buttons on it. So, yeah, I ripped all the buttons off the front of that shirt. They were flying everywhere. I felt so bad. I was just hoping at the end of it that I didn't get any buttons in any of the cupcakes they were trying to sell. He was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Man, nice.
Sounds like you have a new nickname.
Buttons.
Buttons.
Nice. Sound like a cat now.
Right. That's awesome.
That sucks, though.
Yeah, it was a good shirt too.
Did you at least feel like Hulk Hogan though, kind of like ripping it? You
know, no, because I did a little bit too slow to be awesome like that.
Did you like?
Plus, I was too drunk.
When you were trying to, did it get stuck in your head and you couldn't get it off? And you just like I.
No, okay. I didn't try and bring it over my head. It was just I directly just ripped it open, like Chuck said, like a Hulk Hogan type of thing.
Nice.
I was like trying to undo the clasp, but it wasn't a clasp, it was a button, so it just ripped right open.
It's like, really want to show me that tattoo? Jeez, you don't want to.
Yeah, I'm like, look, mine's X-Men, so it's kind of like we both got comic nerdy things in the same spot.
That's when he walks away slowly. It's like, I'm gonna get away from there. Yeah,
and
nice.
The other interesting thing about him is that we have have a birthday on the same day, which is cool.
Nice, very nice. It's always random. So that kind of a similar story, not really though. So last weekend, I helped a friend move. Was coming back from that, and I got like super super thirsty. Like I just couldn't stop. I was like so super super thirsty. So I had a long drive. So I parked and went into Wawa. To get a bottle of water, and like I was going back into where the water was, there was this couple like leaning up against the glass, like completely making out, like overly like just like this. They need a room, but at that moment of time, I was like super tired, super thirsty. So I'm like, all I could think about is like I want this water. So I'm like kind of next to them, trying to figure out a way in my head to get behind, like if I open the door next to them, maybe I can reach and try to get a water bottle. But I'm also trying to figure out which one I want because there's different ones. So I'm like looking through it. But I slowly begin to realize as I'm like looking to try to figure this out that I just look like a dude staring at two people making out. And they kind of start looking over and seeing me just standing there. And I'm think they start getting like rather creeped out as if I'm just like sitting there to enjoy the show. But as I realized that you know, they kind of noticed me, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just trying to get a water. And they
which made it even creepier.
Yeah.
That would have been the perfect moment if you'd have been like, can I cut in?
I was like, no, I just want a water. They were like, I don't know. I think they were kind of wasted, obviously. But they moved, like, oh, sorry, man. And they moved, and it was just got the water and walked out. I'm just like, I realize I'm –
move a couple feet down to make out.
Yeah. It's just, I'm not trying to enjoy the show. I'm just trying to get a bottle of water here, and you're right there. But it was interesting. So I was like, anyways, that was the end of that story. Also, though, one thing I did get an opportunity to do that I'll touch on real quick. I did get to see a movie that I wanted to mention. And Chuck, I know you watched Olympus Has Fallen previously, and you enjoyed that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I actually love that movie. I liked it a lot.
I enjoyed Olympus Has Fallen too. Like, I feel like if it was made in the 80s, it would be produced by Cannon Films, starring Chuck Norris, and be full of roundhouse kicks. But in this case, it's, you know, Jared Butler, and it was enjoyable. I thought it was a good, like, schlocky action film. So I thought I would check out Olympus Has Fallen and seeing if it was any good. And I gotta say I was not a fan. It to me suffered from a lot of the sequel-itis of having to be bigger and better and all that. Part of the problem is, like, the concept of it is that, you know, it takes place in London. The Prime Minister of London dies, so you have, like, all these world leaders coming together for a funeral, and then all hell breaks loose. But I swear to God, like, the London that this movie takes place in, there was more people in London watching 28 Days Later than were in this movie. Because after everything, like, starts going down, suddenly there's, like, no one in the streets. London has, like, no police or anything. It's, like, massive destruction. The president's being attacked, of the United States being attacked. And, like, he's surrounded by, like, three dudes. Like, that's all they brought. As if, like, you know, a lot of people had vacation that day, so they went short-staffed. It's like, why is it? There's, like, no one here. It's kind of insanely crazy in that end. Some of the action is pretty okay, but it felt like it was... Nothing really stood out to me. And there's just some really, really bad jokes. For example, there's a scene where the president's, like, hiding. Jared Butler puts him in, like a thing to hide. And then he's fighting all these guys. But then the president sees him at the last moment. And when he does, he's like, "Oh, I see you finally came out of the closet." But the thing is, the president wasn't even hiding in the closet. So not only is your joke bad, the premise of it doesn't even work. So it's just a lot of stuff like that. It's not the worst thing I've seen. There's some good stuff here and there, but it's just, I think it's something that it felt like they didn't really have an idea there. And the whole plan of taking over London doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's just kind of a mashup of craziness, but I don't know. If you want a dumb action movie, I guess you could probably do a lot worse than London Has Fallen.
So you're saying it was probably good that I didn't waste my money on it in the theater.
Yeah, I would say it's not something you'd want to send in the theater. It's coming. It's on, you can digitally rent it now, and I think that's the perfect way to watch it. So I'll be honest, I was watching it in the background as I was doing other things, but I don't feel like I missed any. But, Chuck, I do know that you also watched something on Netflix, and hopefully it was a little bit better than what I saw.
Yeah, it probably was a little bit better based on your review there. I think you guys have both seen this, if I'm not mistaken, and that is Son of Batman.
Yes.
Though I'm getting them all confused which one's which. There's, like, Son of Batman, Batman yeah. And Rob, yeah.
Son of Daredevil, no. This obviously is the story of Batman and Talia al Ghul's son, Damian, and, how he sort of grows up being trained and everything by the League, and somehow he's an expert fighter already by 10 years old and everything. And then he goes... his mother thinks it best for him to go and sort of be with Batman. It's probably the safer thing for him since another faction seems to be trying to take out the League and everything, and they kill Ra's al Ghul, or excuse me, Ra's al Ghul. Sorry.
You get it right now.
Right. I almost had to hurt myself there. That was a big screw up. So...
What are you, Christopher Nolan? Come on now.
I did enjoy it for the most part. I think there were a few things that I had a problem with. Some of the voice acting I wasn't too thrilled about. I think for the most part, the guy voicing Deathstroke, I really didn't care for. I thought he was really bland and didn't, really convey much emotion at all in the way he was doing that voice. And it's actually the guy from Criminal Minds, the guy that plays Hotchner. And Criminal Minds, his name is Thomas Gibson, which he's pretty cool. I like him a lot in Criminal Minds and everything, but he just didn't seem to do that great of a job pulling off Deathstroke in this. But I did enjoy the person that voiced Talia al Ghul. That was the girl that played Deadpool's girlfriend in the Deadpool movie.
Marina Baccarin.
Baccarin, yes.
Yeah, she does a lot of voice acting.
Yeah. I was surprised because I know she does like Gideon on Flash and Legends of Tomorrow and stuff. And
she's on Gotham.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So I kind of like, I was looking up and I saw her name on here. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this girl's like into everything right now. But she's a good voice actor. She does a good job. Mm-hmm. I'm still not crazy about Jason O'Mara as Batman. I mean, he does okay. It's not too bad. I guess I'm just a huge Kevin Conroy fan. That'll always be the animated Batman to me. Other than that, I mean, it was okay. I think... were you going to say something,
Dan? Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think him... Like, there's something about him that's just missing. He just doesn't have, the gravitas you need to be Batman. It just seems... Maybe timid's the word that comes to mind. It just it doesn't have, the ferocity or the he doesn't strike fear in any way. He just seems a little bit, I don't know, more just...
Kind of bland.
Yeah, bland's a good word.
There's certain lines where he does good. And then there's other moments, like maybe where you would expect there to be a little bit more urgency in your voice or something. And it's just not there. Like, so I don't know. I don't know whose fault that is or what that is. But it just doesn't seem quite right. It's something seems a little bit off there, but... That's the same thing with the guy that did Deathstroke. He just seemed totally like flat through the whole thing. Like even in the middle of a fight scene, it was just like him talking like he's standing up giving a speech in front of people or something. I'm like, I don't know. It was just kind of boring. But the other problem I did want to mention that I had with it was it just seemed like a bit of a reach that Damian was such a good fighter in this movie. Like, that kind of bothered me for some reason.
He's a good fighter in the comics as well, because he's been trained by the best of the best over time, and he's, like, that's all he's been focused on was all this fighting and all this stuff, because he's been trained since he was, like, born, apparently.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, in the movie, I'm not sure how old he's supposed to be. To me, he seemed like he was, like, 10. I don't know if he's supposed to be more like 14, 15.
No, you're going way too old there. It's definitely like because he's like in the comic right now, he like lost one of his teeth or something. So I don't know exactly what age that is because I'm not a kid anymore and I'm not a parent of any sort.
I mean, losing teeth happens. I mean... You could probably say around second grade, which is like 7 or 8, you know?
Yeah, I was going to guess around 8.
I think he's older than that because looking at something like Teen Titans versus Justice League, he's like a preteen, like 12, 13, which is still possible to lose a tooth unless it's your first one, and then you're just weird. But
yeah.
He is like maybe he just keeps going into the what do they call it?
The Lazarus Pit.
The Lazarus Pit. But he just resurrects his baby teeth every time.
Well, the one thing that I was reading had like a competition over getting him to the Lazarus Pit or something like that. It was I forget what it was. It was like one of the last Batman graphic novels to come out. It's Adam Kubert cover, and it's got Damian in this weird casket thing, and the whole thing takes. Batman and how are we saying his name at this point, Chuck?
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's, okay. As Ra's and Batman going back and forth, Ra's wants to resurrect Damian and Bruce doesn't. So I highly recommend that. That was a really good graphic novel.
Yeah, I kind of have a problem with. I don't know how closely the movie followed like the comic. I haven't read it yet, but. Nightwing barely defeats him. Like he has like all these cuts all over his body and stuff. And but the one that really bothered me, to be honest, was that he defeated Deathstroke at the end. And I'm like, that's not even possible. I'm sorry, it's just not. Deathstroke is like one of the best fighters in the DCU. Like he's right up there with Batman and Ra's al Ghul. Like I just don't see that happening, but So that left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, but I mean, overall it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I was kind of excited to see it on there because I had finished Young Justice and I was looking for some other things to watch, and I was like, oh, I haven't watched this yet. Let's give it a shot. So
I recommend you read, if you didn't mind that too much. What was done much better, I think, is Batman and Robin. The first graphic novel has a very yellow cover, and it's Batman and Robin on there. But instead of Batman being Bruce Wayne, it's Dick Grayson takes over, because it takes place where Batman was supposedly killed by Darkseid. And so,
oh, in Final Crisis.
Yeah. And so Dick takes over, and then Damian is there with them. So it's a kind of a trade in roles. So you've got the more jovial, fun Batman, and you've got the hardcore Robin. It's quite a fun reversal. It was very well done. The writing's really well done on it, and the art's really great. So I highly recommend that if you want to see something like that, but I think better done than Son of Batman.
Yeah. Was this like I mentioned, I haven't read the actual Son of Batman comics yet, but was this like taken right off the page like DC's other animated movies?
I believe it's kind of close. I'm not sure if I exactly read this exact storyline in comic form. I've seen bits and pieces of it, and plus, you know, my terrible memory, but I think it's kind of close, but not really. I don't think there was a fight between Robin and Deathstroke. I think it went off on a couple of its own limbs, but still having some elements from different storylines and stuff, because Dick and Damian have fought before, and Dick kind of does get his ass kicked a little bit, but he always comes out the winner, kind of.
Huh. Interesting. I remember, like, I think it was the Public Enemies movie, and I think even Flashpoint and a couple other ones. Like I have the comics and I have the movie, and I'm like literally flipping through the pages as I'm watching the movie, and the dialogue is like verbatim, like right off the page, like scene for scene. It's like the same thing. They've done that a few times now, so I was just curious like how closely they followed it.
Yeah, I don't think they followed it too close, but
yeah, I think, yeah, with the, like the new 52 ones that they're doing, it's been like a hybrid of different stories that they've been telling. And like the one before the last one they did, which was, my God, I can't remember the names of them. Batman Bad Blood. Was that it? Yeah, Batman Bad Blood.
You know what got bad blood. You know I am Batman.
Are you singing? Is that Taylor Swift? Am I not mistaken?
Yes, it is.
Impressive. Like, that one was like a combination of different things and the stuff it created itself, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been like, I don't know, which is kind of why I'm not really digging what they've been doing lately with the new, like, most of the new 52 stories. Like, I didn't like Throne Atlantis at all. I wasn't a big fan of Justice League War.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for Killing Joke that they're going to be doing.
Definitely.
I wish they did more of that, where it was more of the, you know, the one-off stories like that, like Public Enemies and stuff, which I'm hoping they're going to be doing now that DC's rebooting again. So maybe they'll stop trying to do the new 52 stuff in their DC movies.
Have you heard that they're supposedly that it's rated R so far, The Killing Joke?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, it's awesome.
So MPA, which makes sense. I don't see how you can do that story without it being rated R.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll leave it as ambiguous, like the ending, or do you think they'll try to make it more clear, like what happens?
I think they'll be ambiguous with it. I think that's not something they'll screw with.
Yeah, because that's kind of part of the story. Like, you have to, it's like your own interpretation of what, like, does Batman really kill him finally? Or is it like,
yeah,
did he not? Like, I don't know.
Hope they don't mess it up. That would be disappointing. They're going to have to add stuff to make it like a full length movie, so that's going to be the question. Like, how can they do that? Like, can they do that and not be awful? So we'll see.
I'm guessing an area that they could add to it is like when they're kind of going through the Joker's life before he becomes the Joker.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe they'll like throw some fluff in there, kind of.
Well, they said that one thing they said was, One thing they said was that Batgirl is going to be playing a bigger role in it, and like she's going to be more prominent in it. So I don't know what that means, but apparently that's part of it.
Maybe they'll try and set her up more and everything.
Yeah, I think that's maybe their idea.
Establish her as a character and kind of see her go through her heartaches being paralyzed. Spoiler alert.
No. And then they fix her in New 52, so it's okay. So
yeah.
but and then they do it again in Arrow with Felicity, so it's okay. Yeah, that's how you get there. So that's a spoiler, I guess, but I haven't even watched Arrow this season, really, so I just know by proxy.
All right, you're not missing much.
Chuck, anything else you want to add regarding Son of Batman?
I don't think so. I think that was about all I had to say.
All right. Greg, you, if I'm not mistaken, were reading a book.
Yes.
What is that, and how was it?
Yeah, I'm not going to go into crazy soliloquy of stuff going on. I read a Star Wars novel. It was Mandalorian Armor.
Was it just a novel about armor? Because that's something Star Wars Expanded Universe would do.
It was kind of boring how you think a book titled Mandalorian Armor could be, where you're going off your concept. It's supposed to be a part of a trilogy of books about a thing called the Bounty Hunter Wars, and it was a lot of setup. And like, they started off from a cool place, because they start you off with Boba Fett coming out of the Sarlacc pit, yeah, and escaping his way. So I thought there was going to be more of that involved, but it was just handled kind of in like one chapter, and then a lot of it's him recovering, and like, and that's taking place in the past, and then it jumps into a little bit in the future. Or no, that's the future, and then they jump into the past a little bit of how these bounty hunter wars and how he got into leading into when he got dumped in the Sarlacc pit. But all this leading up to the bounty hunter wars is really slow, and they're threading things together to like actually lead up to something. So it doesn't really leave you like really satisfied and happy with like a lot of action. It's like a lot of talking and like spying and going behind people's back and setting people up kind of thing. And so it wasn't like the most outstanding read. I'm hoping I was just trying to read it to get through it, because I bought these a long time ago and I got them for cheap. And so I have the whole set, so I have to read the next one anyway. So I am hoping that it definitely picks up in this next one. But it's essentially Boba Fett goes in to break up the Bounty Hunters guilds, but he's being set up by this like spider creature. So it's interesting. You've got the Emperor's kind of mentioned in there a little bit. You got a little bit of Darth Vader every once in a while. You've got, I never know how to say his name, Prince Zizor, however you want to say it, the head of the Black Sun, which is like the big crime family kind of thing going on, like a mob almost in space. But you've got all these elements together coming together and trying to take down the Bounty Hunters Guild, which you think sounds exciting, and especially with Boba Fett is definitely the most interesting character in there, and I just wish there was more stuff about him escaping the Sarlacc pit and stuff, instead of him like recovering from the Sarlacc pit that they put a lot of in there.
So why is it called Mandalorian Armor?
Well, the Mandalorian armor kind of saved them for the most part, with all the stomach acids and stuff. It really saved them.
I think it should be called Space Mob.
Space Mob?
I just picture like Ollie Williams from Family Guy. Space Mob!
The Space Mob will be taken out by the Space Pope. Space Pope, coast to coast.
There's actually a movie on Netflix right now called Space Cop, and I'm like, that's feel like that's close to Space Pope. I think we should sue. I did have a question for you. Knowing, so one thing I hear a lot with like them with Disney taking over Star Wars and doing these sequels and whatnot, mm-hmm. that they kind of threw out a lot of the expanded universe stuff. Does that affect you at all, reading the Expanding Universe, knowing it's quote-unquote no longer canon? Does that affect your enjoyment of the book at all? Or not does that not really matter?
Not really. At this point, I kind of take the movies as one thing and the books as another thing. And then the only way they kind of cross over is just the original trilogy for me. So you've got those connections and they just splinter off in the future and they splintered off in the past. It's like like an Elseworlds or What If, but yeah. They're all joining together in this one nexus of time where they all came out the kind of same, but they split off and they come in from different directions and they go out in different directions. So that's kind of how I look at it. And there's still, I said that one wasn't that great, but there are a lot of great Star Wars novels out there. The Thrawn trilogy, the Darth Bane trilogy was really good. I love that. And there's a whole bunch of other ones that were given a lot of acclaim. There's a kind of a standalone one where it's like a Star Wars / zombies thing going on, which was a really interesting take. That was back when like the whole zombie fad was just starting up.
Interesting. Very cool. But before we go, we did want to touch upon two trailers. One's been out a while. One just came out last week. The first one being, you know, we are big Marvel fans, and finally the trailer for Doctor Strange came out. And I don't know about you guys, when I first watched it, somehow I watched a fan trailer, and I got very worried, but then luckily it was not that. So we didn't saw the real trailer. I'm curious, Chuck, I'll maybe start with you. What were your thoughts on finally seeing the trailer for Doctor Strange?
I thought it was rather interesting. You know, they covered sort of the stuff that I kind of thought they would, like with his profession as a surgeon. You sort of get some glimpses of his hands being all messed up and the car accident, everything like that. Like all the major stuff from his origin, I kind of figured that they would flash in there just to give people like a real quick condensed understanding of who he was and like what sort of background he comes from. And then like after that, it's kind of when it gets like really weird. And like, I know the movie's literally called Doctor Strange, so it kind of has to be strange, but there's some really like far out concepts and stuff. There's some real like Inception stuff going on with like upside down cities and shit. Reality is shifting and just this really, really crazy stuff. And, there's the one part with the Ancient One that knocks the astral form out of him. Like, that to me seems like the big moment of the trailer where that's kind of grabbing everyone's attention. Like, wow, what is this movie? Like, that's sort of the visual effect that everyone's going to, like, take away from. So I think they hit their marks. They hit their goals with probably what they wanted to do, just kind of a quick backstory and a couple of eye-catching scenes to kind of pique people's interest. And it's definitely going to be odd. It's definitely going to be something new. But as we saw with, you know, Guardians, they're certainly capable of pulling off something like that. So,
Greg, thoughts? Are you a fan? Or do you are excited at all for Doctor Strange?
I think Chuck covered it really great there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never been a real big Doctor Strange comics fan, but the movie looks really interesting. Definitely went into an acid trip while staring at an M.C. Escher painting, but it looked really cool. It looked fantastic, like visual-wise. They definitely got the story elements in there to whet your appetite, and I can't wait to see Benedict Cumberbatch with more acting spots and trailers and stuff like that, because he's always a big draw for me and things, especially after seeing him in Sherlock. But yeah, I think Chuck nailed it right off the bat there. So I definitely can't wait to see what goes on, because like you said with Guardians of the Galaxy, that trailer was kind of weird, funky kind of, and this one's even more of an acid trip than that. So I can't wait to see it and see what they did with it.
Yeah, what I'm kind of glad about it is that it's like Marvel going all the way with it. I was wondering if they were going to kind of go the Thor route, where it embraces some of the quirks of the character, but it does it more baby step-wise, where it feels like this is going straight into the craziness of the Doctor Strange world and, you know, what it can be. I'm excited for it, most in large part because the cast is insanely talented. Benedict Cumberbatch, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Tilda Swinton. You know, it's very stacked in that end. And it looks very different compared to everything Marvel's done up to this point, which is good. I think it's good to see them try something brand new like they did with Guardians, as we keep quoting. So I am certainly excited for it. I wonder how it's going to translate for people, like how people are going to react towards it, if they're going to be like, this is a little bit too much. Though they did see Ant-Man, they did see Guardians, but this one's, those also had comedy to it, and this one's much more straightforward. There was really no comedy at all, and I can't really, most Marvel trailers have a little bit of it, maybe except for like Civil War and here and there, but so that'll be curious to see like how well this does financially. I'm guessing it'll probably do around the same as the first Thor, because you throw Marvel's name on something, it tends to do well just because of that, but maybe around the same as Ant-Man, we'll see. But I'm excited for it. I think it'll have a chance to be really great, or it could flame out and be awful. But I don't know. Marvel's been pretty, hasn't failed us yet, so I trust them.
I'm definitely curious to see how it translates to the screen, because some of those concepts, like, I don't know, like you're talking early stuff from things that like Jack Kirby and Jim Starlin started, like, toying around with. I haven't read many Doctor Strange comics at all either, like Greg, but I do have a few, and some of the stuff he's been involved, like with the cosmic stuff and the Eternity and stuff like that. But there's certain panels I remember where, you know, there are like those weird scenes with like there's like four staircases and each of them are going a different direction, and there's like upside down stuff, and like stuff on the ceiling is right side up, and some of those concepts from those early artists and writers in Marvel, like, it's really far out there stuff. I don't know if it's going to go over well, because this is like a whole another level from like Guardians or Ant-Man. Like, this is a totally new bag, so definitely curious. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like bringing the world of Harry Potter into the world of Marvel in a way, but even more out there, and a little bit like, because Harry Potter is a little bit, it's not all, it's pretty easy to grasp, where some of the Doctor Strange stuff is very, you know, high concept for sure. So
yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not like hugely excited for it after seeing this trailer. Like, I'm kind of intrigued, and I think I'm more curious than anything, but I'm not like stoked like I am for, you know, Civil War or something like that, or like I probably will be for Infinity War, but
yeah,
definitely curious.
Very cool. All right, one more trailer before we take a quick break, and Greg won't comment on this because surprisingly he's not seen any of the Jason Bourne films, so we gotta fix that quickly. And
surprising to you guys, but not me.
Well, I gotta give him, I do have to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I've never seen any James Bond movies, so.
There you go. I think
I'm the one that's more at fault there for the bigger faux pas. So,
I'd be more worried, Greg, if you saw like Bourne Legacy and none of the other ones. You'd be like, really, that's the one you saw? But at least, yeah, that didn't happen. So, next time we meet, I'll give you the Blu-ray trilogy, and you can watch a few. It's great. The trailer for Jason Bourne did come out, aptly titled Jason Bourne. Chuck, like you mentioned, you're a big fan of these series, like me. I love this. Probably the Before the year, maybe my most anticipated movie of the year, because I'm super excited for it, and I love Bourne Ultimatum. It might be one of my all-time favorite action films. So, knowing it's coming back, knowing Jason Bourne is coming back, knowing Paul Greengrass is coming back, I'm happy to see what this could be. What were your thoughts on the trailer?
I was pretty excited about a couple things. Mainly, first and foremost, the fact that he's now remembering everything about himself. And that's, to me, is like extremely exciting, because you spend the trilogy where he's like trying to piece together parts of his past. And, you know, of course, that was a lot of the draw of it, like him trying to figure that stuff out, and the points that he gets tripped up along the way trying to find those things. But so that's something that really intrigues me now, of him like remembering things. Obviously, you have the girl, I can't remember her name, but the original girl from Treadstone.
Julia Stiles, is that?
Yes, Julia Stiles, thank you. Couldn't remember her name for some reason. You have her kind of like, looks like she's trying to help him a little bit. That's interesting. And I don't remember. I don't think Tommy Lee Jones was in any of the other ones, was he?
He was not, no.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I'm pretty excited because I am a fan of his, some of his stuff. And I'm pretty excited to see what he can bring to the movie because he's one of those, you know, big headliner actors and everything. So I don't know what role he's taking. Like if he's replacing, you know, one of those NSA guys or CIA guys or whatever his role is going to be, but or if he's replacing the sort of the character that Brian Cox played.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, but either way, it looks pretty exciting. And just some of the fight scenes in it, which is a lot of the draw for me as well for the Bourne movies. Like mm-hmm. some of the fight scenes look pretty awesome too. So I'm definitely excited for that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely looks like it for sure. It looks along the same lines as the other Bourne films. My only concerns really is that, and I like Tommy Lee Jones, but not necessarily with him, but there was that continuous story for the first three. They felt connected, and a lot of those players aren't in this, at least in the trailer. So I do wonder if it's like taking that story one step too far, trying to take something out of it, because the way the third one ended, it seemed like a good place to go and like a good place to end it. And like, I don't know if you can continue this. And with this, I don't know, like something about this, what they're doing with the story and how it's like revolving around one lie and how that affects him. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me as captivating as him trying to figure out what he did, when he did it, why he did it. Like not having that mystery, I wonder if it'll be as good. I understand the need for that, for him to remember, because you're in the fourth movie already. Like he's got to figure it out sometime. But that's my concern, if it just won't be as good as the other ones because of that. I like Tommy Lee Jones, though he can, like the last couple of years, he can be hit or miss. I wonder if he'll play like a type of character like he had in The Fugitive, where, you know, he's out to find him and figure that out. But I'm excited for it. I still am. I have some apprehensions, but I trust Matt Damon, and it looks great. Like some of the locations, it looks like they're going to be in Vegas for this, and that one car chase looks awesome. So as long as they keep along those lines, I'll think it'll be good. But I felt it got better every movie. I felt Bourne Identity was great, then Bourne Supremacy was better, then Bourne Ultimate Meeting was great, and then that was it. There wasn't a movie after that, and now Jason Bourne's coming out. So I don't know if it'll continue that trend, but I think it'll at least be a pretty solid action film. But
so you refuse to accept the Bourne Legacy?
Because mostly because some of the story elements in that so undercut what happens with Bourne Ultimatum. In a lot of ways, it kind of makes that ending almost meaningless. So I tried to forget it happened.
As long as at the end of this movie, they play Extreme Ways by Moby, I will be happy.
Yeah.
I freaking love that song. It's like, that is the Bourne song. Like when you hear it, like tell me you don't hear that song and immediately think of Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Like, that's become synonymous, but love that song so much. It sends a chill up my spine, but.
That's how badass Jason Bourne is. He makes Moby badass. Like that's impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
He makes people forget that Moby did it, and it's now his song.
Exactly. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I love that song. It's very much Jason Bourne. All right, they have to. It's like you gotta keep that tradition going. But alrighty, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're playing the all-time classic, sequel, reboot, or destroy. We'll see you in a bit.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekcastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
All right, and welcome back. And we are playing one of our all-time favorite games, sequel, reboot, or destroy. If you've never heard this game before, it's pretty simple. It's kind of like Marry, F, Kill. Basically, what we'll be doing is we're throwing out some sort of property, whether it be a movie, game, TV show, what have you, and determining, would we like to see a sequel to that? Would we like to see maybe a reboot, then do it all again, or destroy the idea, let the original be, and never speak of it again? So, simple, straight to the point. That's how it goes. Greg, I know you have a few, so let me throw it to you first. What are some of the, what's something you want to throw out there for a sequel, reboot, or destroy?
Well, I think it's a very polarizing topic in the nerd world, and there's been discussion about it, whether there would be a sequel or not. One of my favorite movies, which would be Hellboy.
Interesting. Hellboy.
Hellboy.
Sequel.
Because they've had The Golden Army was the sequel to that, and that was much better than the first one, I thought. And yes, there's always talk of him at conventions always saying whether they would do another one or not. And Del Toro, I think, is up for it. And so is Hellboy himself. And I'm not coming up with his name right now.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, thank you.
I say if anything, I'd see a sequel, just because I don't see anyone else being able to play Hellboy besides Ron Perlman. And I like the first one. I thought the first one was okay. Like you said, guys, I agree. I think the second one's much improved. So they've been talking about it forever. I'd love to see it happen. So I would be all for a sequel for Hellboy. Maybe the Hellboy 3 finally here. I don't know what you could call it, but I don't know. Chuck, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think I would go sequel. I remember not enjoying the first one extremely, like, a lot, but I had taken Greg's advice when he said the second one was a lot better, and I took his word for it, and I watched it, and I totally agreed. The second one was really awesome. I enjoyed that one immensely. So I really think, you know, if they could come up with a good story, I would love to see a sequel.
The first one was definitely not as good as the second one, which is rare in the movie world. I think it was the ending of the first one that kind of let it flop.
The
ending wasn't very interesting. It was just this weird fight that was ended abruptly, and it wasn't a big thing.
It felt like a movie that ran out of budget at the end.
Yeah, kind of, or script, or ran itself into a corner. It was definitely strange. I enjoyed elements of it, though, and how it progressed to definitely make a better sequel. And so I would also like another sequel. Or I think they could kind of go off if they want to get away from Hellboy himself. There are definitely different elements in that world that they could go after. Like, they could have a Lobster Johnson.
That sounds like the porn version of Red Lobster.
No, it isn't. It does. Lobster Johnson is from the Hellboy world.
Sounds like a porno on like a boat or something.
But then there's also the BPR with like a little bit more of normal humans dealing with all the weird elements and mythologies that kind of go bump in the night.
Cool. Very cool. All right, Chuck, I think you have a few as well. So what is the first thing you want to throw out there for SRD? As the kids are calling it.
You gotta watch out for that SRD. I have a couple here. A couple of movies and a TV show. Let's see which one I do first. Let's go with the weird one first. How about Gremlins? Sequel, reboot, or destroy?
Yeah, I love the original Gremlins. I even liked the second one. What was it? It was
A New Batch.
Yeah, the New Batch took place essentially in New York, I believe. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I love those movies. It was kind of right up my alley, B-rated kind of horror, science fiction kind of thing. And so I loved the original. I loved the second one. I think it's been too long to really have a sequel for it. And I think it did kind of lose steam for the second one, even though I personally loved it. I think it wasn't critically acclaimed as a hit. I would think you would have to reboot it. I don't think it's something you really want to destroy. I think there's still something left on the bones there that they could go after. It's a lot of fun. I definitely think they could do a different story, make a better story for it, because it wasn't the greatest story overall, but there was definitely hints of something in there that could really be grown out into something that would be a really great movie, I think. So I would reboot it in a world of reboots.
Cool.
In a world of reboots. That's the worst trailer ever. Well, you know, I guess I should admit that I've never seen Gremlins or Gremlins: A New Batch, so I guess that would be on my list of shame because I've never watched either of them. So it's hard for me to say sequel. I'm hesitant to say reboot. The reason why, nothing to do with Gremlins. I just fear it'll be something like Smurfs or Alvin and Chipmunks, where they get them and they're CGI and they look awful,
too cutesy and stuff.
Yeah,
they were already cutesy back in the day.
Gizmo,
yeah.
Gizmo is
at least before you add water.
Yeah.
So I just think you would lose the puppet, so it would lose its charm in that end, and it would just be kind of generic with these CGI creatures. So I'm going to say destroy. Just be like me and go back and watch it for a first time, and maybe, I don't know. So I'll go destroy this round.
I'm going to go reboot as well. I think
if they
did a updated version of it, if they could find a way to balance that cutesy and then still make it, like, on the backside, make it, like, really even more terrifying than it was back when it originally came out. Maybe make them, like bigger when they change or something, like somehow make them more terrifying.
Not completely huge though.
No, because you'd still have to, like, it still has to be a gremlin.
Yeah.
Somehow make them into, like, they get their mech suits or something like that. Like, it's a crossover with Power Rangers. I don't know. You know.
They got, you know, Rita Repulsa controlling them.
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks.
Right.
Nice.
That looked pretty cool, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a more modernized Gremlins would be kind of cool. I think I might check that out if they were to reboot that.
I would too.
All right. Well, I will be in the minority here. It's okay. I'm not afraid. But
you're
again,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll move on to my first one. So, I have a list to choose from. Let me see. Well, let me go with the most recent one as my first one. Maybe go out of the gate with this. Usually we do classic properties, but I think it makes sense to maybe do a more recent property with Batman v Superman. Would we like to see a sequel of this? You know, possibly, you know, we got the Justice League coming up. Reboot this universe, or maybe destroy DC Cinematic Universe altogether and just let Marvel take it all. Chuck, what do you think?
Okay, so you're saying to the movie or to the DC Universe?
I would say either way. Like, you can consider Justice League a sequel, or, you know, do you want to see another Batman movie with this universe, another Superman movie, or reboot the universe altogether, get new directors, new actors, or destroy it and leave it be?
Okay. All right. This is the route I'm going to go. Okay. As far as Superman movies, which this technically was, this was a sequel of Man of Steel. Destroy them, okay? Do not make any more Superman movies because you're not doing it right.
Agreed.
Can't do it. If you want to make another Batman movie with Ben Affleck even, I'm all for it. Go for it. Because I think there's a lot there to work with.
I'm on the fence, but I'll go with it.
Even if Ben Affleck is writing it or directing it or whatever, I would be much more in favor of that than trying to chug along on the Superman train because it's not working, so give it up. I would be in favor of moving forward with this universe. I think there's a lot of good things to build off of. You got Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Very positive thing there. Right. Like I said, Batman, there's a lot to work with there. I don't know. I guess Lex Luthor would kind of go with Superman because it's his villain, so he would kind of be destroyed with it. which is great. So
yeah, I would say for one deal.
Yeah. So I would say, like, sequel and keep moving forward with everything else, but just destroy the Superman aspects of it. Because for whatever reason, that's just not jiving with it very well, in my personal opinion, being a Superman fan. But maybe I'm just too old school. Maybe I'm not modernized. Maybe I'm not changing with the times like like everybody else. So
nice. Greg, you agree, or, you know?
I agreed with everything Chuck said. Superman definitely not working. I'm a little bit more on the fence than he is with Batman, but I would go see what's going on with a different director and stuff going on there. I thought Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman was great, and I can't wait to see her movie. It's the only thing DC has coming out that I'm really interested in. The rest of the Justice League, I don't know. There's Mexican Flash with a goatee has me a little weirded out.
I love how he's called Mexican Flash.
Mexican know. Flash, well, sounds like something bad, something you get after eating bad Mexican food. I got the Mexican Flash. It's not going out. It's not going totally, good at all.
So I guess it's totally worth the Mexican Flash, because every time I have Mexican food and something like that happens, I'm like, it was totally worth it. So I guess we'll go with that then. What are your thoughts, Dan?
The way I look at it is, I think all the problems with Batman v Superman and the DC Universe are fixable. Step one, get Zack Snyder away from everything as quickly as possible.
I thought you were going to say neuter Zack Snyder.
That may also be part of the problem. He may, although maybe that's the issue. He is neutered, and that's why he has to make bro movies like he did with Batman v Superman.
Or step one A, buy Zack Snyder a Superman comic.
Step two, teach him to read, because he can look at the pictures, but he clearly does not read the words on the page. Yeah. Yeah, Superman's been awful in these movies, but maybe when, spoiler alert, he comes back to alive and is no longer dead, he wakes what? Up. Yeah, I know. Weird.
He can do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a comic book movie?
I know. It's crazy. So he comes back to life, and then he's like, you know what? I was kind of a dick. Sorry about that. This is the way I should act. And then have that happen. When it comes to Lex Luthor, we find out that Jesse Eisenberg wasn't actually playing Lex Luthor. He was playing Luthor's son, and then the real Lex Luthor, played by Bryan Cranston, shows up and punches him in the face. So then that happens. So that's fixed. I think I said Batman's fine. But then maybe there's an Infinite Crisis type of situation where, you know, this cinematic universe somehow gets meshed with the TV universe. And now Flash is in here. And then now Arrow. And now Supergirl. And it all becomes this one universe where it's all tied together. And there's actually sometimes occasionally smile and sunshine. That happens on every so often. And
on every Earth in every multiverse that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I see sunshine on a cloudy day.
I think things are fixable. So I don't think you need to hard reboot it yet. I don't think it needs to be destroyed. I just think you need to sequelize it, but fix a lot of things on the way. And then I think you could be good. And then we'd be ready to go. Will that happen? No.
How much is DC going to be paying you? Because I think you got the job.
Not nearly enough. That's not nearly enough. Considering all the money they're going to lose with Batman v Superman, probably nothing. So,
I should clarify my opinion. I didn't mean that they should not have a Superman in the Justice League as they move forward. I just think he shouldn't be the focal point of the movies.
Yeah.
Moving forward, I think, you know, he should be there, you know, be an active part in their decisions and how they run things.
Guys.
But don't base the story around him, because that's not working and they're not getting it right. So.
Hey guys, it's me. It's just Clark. Yeah, I'll be in. Yeah.
Stop even meddling with his past at all, and just focus on the future and developing the team, because. Yeah. Don't even look into the past anymore.
And maybe
Clark, you must kill.
And maybe stop killing people. That could be good too. Then, yeah.
Right. You want to? Yeah. When forming a team that doesn't believe in killing its enemies, it's probably vital to not kill your enemies before you form the team as well.
Or just random people, just because you feel like it. Yeah. So there you go. All right, Greg. Do you have any more for SRD?
I do. Classic movie from back in the day by an esteemed director I believe you all know, by the name of George Lucas. This movie is called
American
Howard
Graffiti?
The Duck. Woo! Howard the Duck.
He didn't direct that, did he? I think he just produced it, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought he was the director. Let me. You guys discuss. I'll look up.
Sequel, reboot, or destroy to Howard the Duck. Well, the first one was such a success. How could you not? How could you not? I really like the series that's going on right now with, is it Chip Zdarsky writing it, if I'm not mistaken? I could be wrong. But
I think so.
But I found that a lot of fun. So I would say I'd be for a reboot. I don't know how it would work exactly, if they would do it in MCU. I was hoping maybe not, because it'd be kind of weak. Though it may not even be, it'd be kind of maybe interesting if they do it more of a TV series or something like that, or an animated movie. But I would be for them trying Howard the Duck again, just with less interspecies love triangles. So,
by the way, you are correct. It was produced by George Lucas and Gloria Katz. It was directed by Willard Hayuk, H-U-Y-C-K.
Well, there you go. H-U-Y-C-K. Yuck.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
Howard the Yuck.
Chuck, thoughts? What do you think?
Can we bring back Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins?
Definitely Leah Thompson.
Yes. and the dude from the principal from Ferris Bueller.
I'm sorry, he is in jail for pedophilia.
Is he? Oh crap, that's not good.
No, there is some pedophilia charge or whatever. He did have some run in with that, but I'm not sure if he's in jail or not.
I actually thought he died, but I guess that I was thinking of the wrong guy, maybe. I don't know.
Could be both. You don't know.
Right, it could be. I don't follow the Howard the Duck cast enough to
Come on, you don't go cosplaying as Howard the Duck. And
I don't know. I think just incorporating him into other movies as like an add-on thing would be plenty enough. I think I'm gonna have to go destroy. I think there's not enough there to hold my interest personally. I think throwing him in an extra scene like Guardians was a great idea. Maybe they can even do that in a couple more spots here and there, but to try to reboot it or anything, I just don't know if it would be successful at all, and people would be like, this is just weird and lame. So I don't know. I mean, I could be surprised, but the 80s were a very experimental time, and people were very open to a lot of different types of movies. Certainly they are today too, though. So I don't, what the hell do I know? I don't know.
Jeff Jones is still alive.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, the only question is he a pedophile or not?
I'll look that up more. Oh,
yeah, you might not want to Google that.
I'm on Wikipedia, so it's just articles and not pictures. In 2003, Jones was arrested for possession of child pornography and accused of soliciting a 14-year-old boy to pose for pornographic photographs. Jones pled no contest to a felony charge. His punishment was 5 years probation, counseling, and the requirement to register as a sex offender. Jones and the aggravated boy settled in Los Angeles Superior Court for damages related to this matter in 2004. In 2010,
okay. I think we're
no. Ahead. In 2000, there's only a little left. In 2000,
his punishment was to watch Howard the Duck.
In 2010, he was arrested twice for failing to update his sex offender status, both in Florida and in California. I thought it was going to be another pedophilia thing there, but it wasn't. It was just not registering.
Well, there you go. So at least you know he won't be in the sequel. So.
But I think we could include him, like maybe in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, have a little bit more scenes with him, and kind of build up his repertoire. And maybe if he's still doing pretty good, we could parlay him into a movie, maybe see how it goes first. Kind of like what they're doing with Black Widow, apparently, and not giving her a freaking movie, even though she deserves one.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Chuck, do you have any more?
Yeah, I have a couple more. I don't know how many more you're going to do. But
we can keep this thing rolling.
keep this train rolling along. Yeah. Let me do a TV show quick. This is one I know Greg is actually a pretty big fan of. Dan, I'm not sure if this was one of your favorites or not, but how about the TV show, the classic TV show, MASH?
We need a sequel to the Korean War first before we can do a sequel to MASH.
Well, we may have one quicker than we think.
True. Man, welcome to SAD Podcast as we talk about past, you know, possible wars and failures of our past actors. But, man, Greg, you should probably go first with this one since you're much more of a MASH expert than I am.
I think it depends on what direction we're going to take it. Are we going to go the original direction that it was going in, which is freaking hilarious funny, with maybe every once in a while real kind of like drama come and seep in just a little bit? Or are we going to go towards Hawkeye, Alan Alda's perspective of this real modeling, like depressing towards the end of its run route? Because I think if you go a funny route, it could be interesting, but then it's also going to depend on the writers. Like, the writing for back in the day for that show was incredible. The jokes were amazing, and the jokes still hold up today. Like, I'll rewatch MASH and I still get a kick out of a lot of the stuff that's being said today. Even
the thing is too, like, the more times, like, you can't catch everything in one watch a lot of times, because like, Hawkeye just talks so fast, and like you could watch an episode like a couple more times and pick up new jokes that he throws in there, like little subtle things.
I had my belly button puckering and unpuckering all day. I don't know why that one sticks with me. It was one of the lamer ones, but I love that for some reason. And when the psychologist comes in, he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, take my advice. Pull down your pants and skate down the ice." Like, weird stuff like that. It was like this really highbrow humor, but everyman humor. Like, it just hit all these marks. So you would definitely need the right people to write that to get anywhere close to the original. There has to be these credentials before you could get into making the show where I'm going to want to watch it. Other than that, I think destroy it and just rewatch the originals, because you could watch those and then come back like a year or two later and watch them all over again and still have a great satisfaction.
You know what's interesting? When I was actually coming up looking for things to do, MASH is when that came up, and I didn't realize there was actually a sequel series to MASH called After MASH.
Yes, that was terrible, I heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one with Jamie Farr. No, I know.
Nice.
Sorry, Celebrity Jeopardy interlude.
Sorry. But yeah, so I think I would say destroy, just because it would be hard to repeat that success. Like, I don't know how you would reboot it today and be successful. I don't know if you'd be able to do, like, a comedic show that centers on, like, war in that sense right now. So I would say no, destroy, and just watch the original, like Greg mentioned.
I still think he could do, like, a funny war thing. It just depends on how you do it. Because back then, that war was like terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it was a conflict. It wasn't considered a war, which is stupid, but whatever. That's one of those terminology things to get around different stuff. But yeah, those wars back then were terrible, and World War II wasn't that far away from that one. And that war was the war to end all war. And they still went through it and made war funny.
Yeah, with Abbott and Costello, like, and
My thought process was, like, if they could sort of modernize it with something more contemporary that we can all sort of understand, like a conflict that's going on now, something we can all relate to because we've sort of experienced it or been through it, just like the people back when MASH came on TV. I thought maybe it could be successful if they could pull off something like that, but I'm not sure. I mean, Dan brings up a good point, not being able to do that today, because I was thinking, you know, back then, yes, obviously the Korean War was terrible, but I mean, to me, there's no doubt that a lot of people back stateside probably weren't really sure why we were over there and what exactly we were doing. Whereas, I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of people knew, but I can't help but believe there were a lot of people that really weren't sure what we were fighting for and weren't sure what it was all about. Whereas nowadays, with everything so much more connected, we have media at our fingertips. We know every little thing that happens and everything that goes on, if you so choose to read about it. And that, you know, we have everything with the terror attacks that have been so prevalent in the last, like, you know, 10 years and everything. I just think it's like it might be like a touchy topic as far as, like, you know, everybody understands the gravity of those situations. Like,
yeah, and plus everybody is more sensitive anymore to everything. Everything is right. So PC.
And, like, I think just everyone understanding the situation, like, no one really unsure about it where they could kind of get a laugh out of it. I think it might be just touchy enough where it's, like, just maybe a little bit too hard to pull off. Because, I mean, to be honest, you need someone with a special, special talent like Alan Alda had back then. Like, he was one of a kind. He was the guy for that role. There was no one else. And I'm not sure who you would get to do that nowadays. I'm sure there's probably somebody close out there. Nobody really comes to mind. But it would be extremely tough to pull off. It really would. And with the original being so good as it is, and there's so many reruns out there available, I guess I would probably have to just say destroy and just kind of enjoy it for what it was and just sort of live in that nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, if they were able to do something that it could actually be good in a way, like, it could probably, sometimes using comedy, something like MASH, you can diffuse a situation, but then, like, slowly, like Greg mentioned, sometimes you could get more serious when you needed to. It would be hard to get the cast to work. I don't know, someone that comes to mind would be like Sam Rockwell, just because I feel like he is a guy who can be comedic and serious depending on the situation. But it would be tough for sure. And there was a movie, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, that just came out a few weeks ago. Which yeah.
They had one before that was a TV show on Fox that was like a comedy war thing, but didn't do well.
Yeah, that was like a boot camp type of thing. I forget the name of it too. Enlisted yeah. or something, was that it? I forget the name of it.
Yeah, I think it's Enlisted. I think you're right.
Like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot was like in the Afghan War, which is more comedic, was I think Tina Fey and a few, Margot Robbie and a few other people. I didn't see it. I just know, like, they had trouble marketing that because of it, just regarding what it's about. So,
right.
That is a challenge, but it would be cool. I mean, see them try. I don't know if he'd call it MASH, though. He might have to call it something else, but along the same lines. Yeah. So,
although I will say, I would absolutely love to hear Hawkeye Pierce make fun of Kim Jong-un. I think he's got a lot of ammunition there. It'd be hilarious. But I don't know if we'll ever get to see that, anything like that. So
one day. We can dream. We can dream.
Right.
All right, so it's my turn. Well, I'm going to go to... we haven't done a video game before, but I think it might make sense. It kind of bums me out that, like, Marvel isn't making real video games anymore. It's just like... It's like cell phone games that they're doing, and it's they're okay, but they're nothing special. But one of my favorite Marvel games ever, you know, you had X-Men Legends, but then you had Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and then 2. You know, you could do another sequel. The last time they did Civil War, they could maybe do Secret Invasion or other big Marvel storylines, maybe reboot it and start from fresh and do it all over again. Maybe using some of the Marvel Now or Marvel All New, all different characters. Or maybe, you know, time has passed and we can't do another Marvel Ultimate Alliance game. Greg, any thoughts on Marvel Ultimate Alliance sequel to the first two, a reboot of it, or just destroy it altogether?
I wouldn't say destroy. I loved those games, and I played the hell out of them. The second one I didn't care for as much as the X-Men ones or the first Ultimate Alliance. But depending on how they do it, I would like to see a sequel, or like you said, we've got the Marvel now, maybe like put that in instead and kind of update it and have another kind of storyline running through it. I don't know which storyline you would really use, but I really enjoyed those games overall. Maybe. So
it would be kind of cool if they did Secret Wars and like Battle World, because that would give you like an ultimate like amount of different things to do and different versions of characters. So
yeah, and get more space characters in there.
Space characters.
Space.
I was thinking even something like Avengers versus X-Men. Even
yeah,
and you could like kind of. You could choose your side, like whoever you wanted to
that's a neat sort of idea. Fight with.
Yeah, I do like that idea.
How much is Marvel paying you for that, Chuck? And which company am I going to get in with here and have a great idea?
They're paying more than DC's paying Dan.
Damn!
Burn.
Dan, you need a better lawyer and manager.
Yeah, I don't know how I got sacked with DC. Like, what did I do? I mean, I don't know. The question is, how much are they paying us this episode? And it's not nearly enough. So, but I don't get Marvel money like Chuck does. Jeez. But that's a great idea. I would love to see that.
I would definitely say sequel to that game.
I would too.
I absolutely loved the first one. That was freaking awesome. Even like the, you mentioned the X-Men Legends ones too. Like especially the Apocalypse one. I think Legends of Apocalypse was called. That one was like really the same type of game, same type of gameplay and everything. I think what set Ultimate Alliance apart for me was like the little things during the game that you choose, and like at the end, like the Watcher does that little roundup where he discusses like what happened based on what you chose, and like there were different outcomes. Like if you chose to save Jean Grey instead of Nightcrawler, then this happened. What if you chose
to have Beast shit on Deadpool's lawn, and now he is neutered and can't have any children?
Exactly. There was just some like I think the one part where what the heck was it? If you save like Namor or whatever, then you have like peace with the Atlanteans, and they're like, no, you have no more wars with them and stuff. Like just the neat stuff that you could like affect during the game. I would love to see them carry on that tradition and kind of have that in it. So yeah, if they did something Avengers versus X-Men or something with a ton of characters that you could choose your side, you could choose characters, have like a huge list of 30 characters or something that are playable, anything along those lines. With that type of gameplay, I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, they have some of like the cell phone games. I don't know what you call them, the free to play games or whatever. They have a lot of characters, but the games themselves are really simplistic, and the board levels are really dull, and they're really repetitive. So I just want to see a real Marvel game again. I feel like they haven't done, though. I don't really play video games, but I would like to see them try to do something that's actually legitimate.
Yeah. Plus those like cinematic cutscenes that were in those, like those were spectacular. Like the CGI on those was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I sometimes wish they could just make an entire movie out of that.
I know, that'd be great. Like,
do you remember the Doctor Doom one in the first Ultimate Alliance, where I think it's at the end? Yeah, it's at the end where he's in the castle and like Odin takes the power back from him, and he's outside and it's like pouring down rain and everything, and there's rain just like shimmering off of Dr. Doom's mask, and it's like dripping off his mask and stuff. It just looks so real. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right, sure. Greg, we'll make this one the last round. So why don't you go next with whatever you got?
Okay. It's a movie I talked about actually pretty recently, and I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about E.T.
Funny, this was on my list too. I thought about bringing this up. Let me think. See a sequel to E.T. where he phones home and he comes back. Maybe he comes back for vengeance and he destroys us all. It's like a, it's like the
sequel steals to... the lightsaber, comes back, cuts people's heads off.
Yeah.
E.T. take revenge.
Oh, man, a reboot. I don't know about doing a reboot, doing trying to do it again. I'd say if anything, I'd want to see a sequel. Where he comes back, maybe he visits a different kid. I don't know if he would see Elliot, because it'd be weird now. Elliot would be old. Or maybe you find Elliot and he's like a failure in life, and like he just has never gotten over E.T. leaving him, and you know, and he comes back, but it's just awkward, and they have nothing to talk about. And it's just, I don't know. It's more of a comedy. That's not nearly as good as the other stuff we talked about. But I'll go sequel just because I think there's, you could do something with it that could be cool. Chuck, any thoughts?
I'll say this in the nicest way I know how. You gotta destroy that shit. Nah, I'm kidding. I don't mean to sound mean or anything. No, like I mentioned a few weeks back, he brought up the E.T. movie that he saw it, and how much he enjoyed it and everything. I personally, it didn't hold up well for me for whatever reason. Of course, it's been a long time even since then, since I watched it the second time, because I think, you know, obviously I watched it when I was a kid. I was like, I don't even know, 7, 8 years old. And then I remember watching it again when I was probably like 20 or something, 22. And so it's been even a while since I've seen it that time. So I can't say with incredible accuracy that, you know, I'm unhappy with it, but I think... My gut's just kind of saying destroy, because I wasn't totally into that to begin with, and I wouldn't be too interested in seeing anything else done with that property.
Yeah, I could see that. I think if it'd be hard to try to do it again, but Greg, would you want to see a sequel or a reboot or destroy
it? I think you're coming up with a lot of great ideas for the sequel, actually, Dan. I'd like to see E.T. come back and deal with, like, maybe there was like a different time difference between them, and E.T. kind of comes back where E.T. is still kind of the same age, but the kid is an adult now and kind of dealing with those situations in the family, and maybe his kid's there and everything, discovering E.T. And so I think that would be kind of fun.
E.T. keeps trying to hit on Drew Barrymore. It's like, E.T., stop. All right, Chuck, let's move over to you. What's the last on your list?
Yeah, last one on my list is property that's very near and dear to my heart, and I cannot remember if we've brought this up before in sequel, reboot, destroy or not. I really don't remember at all, but I think it's worth revisiting because there's been some recent talk about it, especially since the lead actor was recently out of jail. So that is, of course, the Blade franchise.
Interesting.
So, another Blade movie, sequel, reboot, or destroy?
Greg, you want to go first?
Sure. I go sequel. I love the Blade movies. Definitely love to see the jailbird come out and play the role of Blade again. I think there's still a lot they could do with that. And, you know, maybe make a swipe at Twilight and have him, like, beat up somebody that, like, is a Twilight fan or something. I don't know.
Beat up someone that sparkles.
Yeah, it'd be fun. But yeah, I think there's definitely would still be some interest in that. I'd love to see another one.
Yeah, I'm assuming we mean Blade. We're going with the movies, not the TV show, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yes, the movies with but you know, the badass Wesley Snipes was arrested for tax evasion. The most badass thing I can think of to get arrested for.
He, I mean, luckily he did Undisputed, so he knew how to handle himself when it came to came to being in jail. Man, you know what? I can't imagine anyone else being Blade with the Punisher.
Not even Kirk Sticky Fingers Jones.
Yeah, like I said, I can't imagine anyone else being Blade. Yeah, you that.
I'm sorry,
show.
I even brought that up. That's yeah. Just... I immediately regret that.
I don't know what Blade fit into, because I think Marvel owns Blade again, if I'm not mistaken, because they got him with the Punisher.
Yes, I do believe the rights are back with Marvel now.
So could you put him in like a TV series with like Daredevil or in the Punisher? Because I feel like that would be the best fit for him, because you know, considering the violence level and whatnot, it's possible. I would say that, you know, the Daredevil has already kind of hinted at some supernatural stuff, And he doesn't always have to fight vampires. He could fight ninjas too. So, and I would not want to see a reboot. Blade, it was a character that was so irrelevant until he came along, and now people actually somewhat cared about him. So, yeah, I think there's something there. So I'd like to see a Blade sequel, maybe, in maybe not a movie, but maybe see him join the Defenders or something like that, or be part of the Netflix universe in some way. So I'd go sequel.
Excellent. I'll make it a clean sweep and say sequel as well. I absolutely love Wesley Snipes as Blade. There is no other Blade as far as I'm concerned. Sticky Fingers guy was just not very good. I did watch that whole series. I don't know how many people out there actually watched that whole...
I watched a few episodes of it, and I stopped, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure... Yeah, I made it through... I think there was... I forget how many episodes even, but it was like the full season or whatever I made it through. And I think I ended up selling it to, like, FYE after I finished it or something.
That's how you got paid by Marvel, isn't it? You sold your Blade
series. Yes. Yeah. Yes, very good. I didn't even want to keep it. That's how much I enjoyed it. But, no, Wesley Snipes is awesome. Like you mentioned, the Blade was kind of irrelevant before that. And to me, it was Snipes, but it was also just the world that they created, like... That whole, like, you know, vampires sort of being just there under everyone's noses without anyone realizing it. And, like, once the darkness falls, there's this whole other world that nobody even realizes is there. Like, that was so intriguing to me for some reason. And because you could almost, in a way, like, if you really kind of used your imagination, you could almost see that, like, happening. It's like, because it's like, who really knows what's going on in New York City under these weird meatpacking warehouses late at night? Nobody knows what's going on down there. You know, it could be a huge blood rave. You don't know.
True. I do not know. Right. That is not my scene. That is not my bag.
I just think the world they created was so, like, interesting. Like, it was so cool. Some of the things were corny in the first one. Obviously the effects at that point in time weren't the best. And you had the guys getting hit with the, I think it was the EDTA chemical or whatever, and they started swelling up and blowing up and stuff. That was pretty comical. But two, I enjoyed thoroughly. I think that was my favorite, with the Reapers. And Ron Perlman was great in that as well.
Del Toro!
Yeah. The movie that made it Hellboy, I think. So.
Yeah. And, of course, that you know, one of the early roles of Norman Reedus, who went on to become Daryl Dixon.
So you could have a Walking Dead crossover. See, it all connects.
See, I was a Norman Reedus fan before people even knew who Norman Reedus was. As soon as he came on Walking Dead, I'm like, that's totally, you know, Scud from Blade 2. So
that's funny, because most people would be like his character from Boondock Saints, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I would totally be for a sequel. I think even a Netflix season, I would totally get behind, you, as long as it's Wesley Snipes.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, let's start. Well, for the last one of the night, I'm going to go to an all-time, probably, I think, unquestionably looked at as one of the greatest movies in cinematic history. Probably, you know, up there. Citizen Kane, Godfather, Con Air. They're all spoken within the same breath. Classic Nicolas Cage movie, you know, with a massive amount of crazy characters. It's not like Nicolas Cage would say no, so we know that he would do it. What would you see a sequel? Maybe do a reboot with new characters and new actors. You know, they did reboot Point Break, so maybe they need to reboot more 90s action films. Or destroy it, because the Point Break remake was apparently awful and did horribly, and just watch Con Air again.
Destroy. You're never going to... It's like you guys said with MASH. You're never going to be able to recreate all that magic. Yeah, so I think
really?
You have
Con Air was magic?
Yeah.
It was something, all right? Magic is
that's
a good
a new
one.
You're never going to be able to recreate that magic that turns unicorns into poo.
I would love to.
You could probably get Malkovich again.
Yeah, you probably could.
You could probably get that entire cast again.
Except for the dude that got his arm ripped off. He might not be there.
Yeah. You could have a claw.
Danny Trejo would probably do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, Danny Trejo does everything.
Yeah.
He's someone calls him like, yeah, would you like to? Yeah. He doesn't even hesitate. He's like, yeah, I'll do it.
He answers the phone. Hey, this is Danny Trejo. Yeah, I'll do it. I didn't even ask you anything, Danny. I know. I'll just do it. Now you're calling. That's what everybody calls before is be in their movie, and I'll just do it.
It's on his voicemail. If you're calling about a movie, I'll do it.
Nice. So, Chuck, do you think they can do a sequel or destroy it all together?
I think they can do a sequel. I would be for a sequel, but if you're gonna have Nicolas Cage, got to get rid of the horribly done Southern accent. Oh my gosh, that was just that almost ruined it for me. I mean, it was a fun sort of brainless movie, but that almost like was just too much to overcome. Because Nicolas Cage is hilarious to begin with to me. Like, he's just he's funny when he doesn't mean to be. Like, I just love to laugh at Nicolas Cage, and like sometimes he overacts like way too much.
The bees, man.
Case in point, Ghost Rider, when he was making transformations into Ghost Rider. Go watch some of those scenes again. He overacts like a ton, but yeah, if it would be fun if he got rid of the terrible Southern accent, you know, update the CGI and some of these special effects, and I think it'd be cool. I'd check it out.
I mean, like I said, it's not like he won't do it again for sure. There's something, I don't know, something unique about those 90 action movies. I don't know if you could repeat it. It might be worth it.
But they were.
Yeah. It might be worth it just to see him try to have that haircut again, which was bald, was somehow like a combination of being bald and a mullet at the same time. So that was special.
It's a bullet.
Bullet, exactly. thinking of like Steve Buscemi's character, who was just super ultra creepy, one of the creepiest characters ever.
Yes.
Even for Steve Buscemi, it was yes. Extra level of creepy. I mean, the idea is there. It's kind of a crazy concept. Makes no sense whatsoever. Like, why you would fly people. I mean, it's nonsensical. But, you know, they've made sequels to worse movies, and it's not like you would be doing a sequel to, like, you know, Godfather, as I pointed out. So I don't think it'd be great, but I'd rather see a Con Air sequel rather than Nicolas Cage making another pointless movie no one ever talks about. So, you know,
right.
Like Left Behind 2 or something like that. So,
how about this? All right, I'm going to pitch it to you. We do a mashup of National Treasure 3 and Con Air. Just trying to steal the Declaration of Independence. What do you think?
I like that. And then maybe add in somehow The Rock. Sean Connery comes back and they have to
see, Dwayne see, Johnson is in there.
They actually make it to Alcatraz, and then he has to use the knowledge that he learned from The Rock to escape prison after he flies there in Con Air. When you think about it, all Nicolas Cage movies are really telling one gigantic story. You just have to figure it out somehow.
Right. So. There's a clue in every single one of his movies. You just have to piece it together, and there's a treasure at the end.
Still haven't figured out Wicker Man besides the bees. I think the bees and the punching women's right in the face on the repeated occasion.
Did you ever see what the heck's that one?
Season of the Witch?
Did you ever see that?
I had not.
No.
No, it's called Next with he did it with Jessica Biel.
One he can like see in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he could kind of like see parts in the future. That was kind of freaky. That was weird. I'm not going to lie.
yeah. I did see
but
that.
But he's done like some of the weirdest stuff. Like he's just he takes on these oddball roles. Like, I don't know.
Exactly.
He lost all of his money and he's trying to get it back. And all like he got his crappy movie roles and he does not give a shit.
Yeah.
I will say I do love Gone in 60 Seconds though.
Yeah, I mean he's not void of good movies. He's got some good ones there. I mean he's great in Kick-Ass, so you know.
Yeah.
Run, Charles!
But I'm having trouble controlling the volume of my voice.
Alrighty. But it's time to bring this episode into a close. So if you want to get in contact with us, there are a lot of different ways. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkinginCircles@live.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at HeroicAgeChuck.
My Twitter name is at TheCreateForge.
And I am at MovieRevolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg or Blade punching twinkly vampire.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. So then we want to go into the story.
Yeah. Go to sleep.
On a tiny island in the Pacific, a shipwreck has killed all aboard except for four men. Dan, Chuck, Greg, and a scientist called Professor McGuffin. Driven to madness by the trio's constant shenanigans and random podcasting, Professor McGuffin has left them to their own devices and sworn to destroy them.
This has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or Freckles.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next time.
You think Professor McGuffin would dress himself up to look like Evangeline Lilly?
Well, you've already asked him to dress up as Amelia Clark, Emily Ratajkowski, and Emily Bett Rickards, and every time he said no.
So you would think he would agree then?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying, Greg.
Awesome!
Meanwhile, on the half-sunken cruise ship, Professor McGuffin completes charging his latest creation while talking to the remains of a former cruise passenger.
It's almost complete, Samson, and then I will be completely rid of those buffoons. Wait, what? What is that you say? I will not fail. How dare you say that?
An hour later...
What the heck was that?
Sounds like the Blue Man Group to me.
Guys, you might want to take a look at this.
What's that? Oh.
In the distance, a large robot comes stomping through the jungle.
Did the professor make a transformer? That is amazing.
What makes you think that is a transformer?
Well, look at all the sharp, pointy edges. What else could it be?
I don't know, not enough sharp edges if you ask me. Not nearly as racist either. Looks more like a Jaeger from Pacific Rim.
If you ask me, it's a Zord.
The massive robot comes to a stop in front of the trio.
Prepare to be destroyed for your...
Hold on a second, buddy. What the heck is wrong with you guys? This thing is totally Transformers inspired. Look at all those useless moving parts. Classic Michael Bay. We just need some explosions is all.
Yeah, but it's not living, though. The professor's rotting inside of it, which makes it a Jaeger.
Or a Zord.
No! Zords are robot dinosaurs, and this is a humanized robot. Why? We've had this discussion before.
But the Megazord was human!
He's got you there.
Enough of this!
The robot lifts its legs to crush the trio beneath its feet.
Time out, guys. Time out.
Chuck simply flips the switch on the side of the robot's foot, and its lights go out, and it comes to a complete stop.
My machine! My beautiful machine! What did you do to it? He is right. It is very beautiful. Out of everything, I think we could all agree that we should totally dress up this robot to look like Emily Bett Rickards.
Greg, stop it.
No, I won't. She's gorgeous.